Welcome to ReadFlow Weekly. I'm your host. This week, we are reminded that progress always has a price. Sometimes that cost is measured in dollars, sometimes in decibels, and sometimes in the very foundations of what we thought we knew. Let's start with a sound you might be hearing right now. The hum of traffic. It's the background noise of modern life, but new research suggests it could be doing more than just annoying us. A large Danish study has found a modest but consistent link between long-term exposure to road traffic noise and a higher risk of Parkinson's disease. For every 11.5 decibel increase in noise at the most exposed side of a home, the risk went up by about 3%. It's a quiet, creeping cost of our infrastructure, a health tax paid in ambient sound. You can find that story at ReadFlow. And while we're tallying costs, a much louder political fight is erupting over a different kind of price tag. New tariffs enacted this week were hit with immediate legal challenges, with experts arguing they may not hold up in court. The projected price for Americans? A staggering $100 billion a year. It's a number that frames a fierce debate about trade, sovereignty, and who ultimately pays when economic walls go up. Meanwhile, in the realm of artificial intelligence, the cost of something else is collapsing to near zero, the cost of writing code. This isn't just about speed. It's forcing a foundational rethink of engineering management itself. The old rules about protecting teams and valuing slow, deliberate work are being upended. When code is cheap, what do managers actually manage? The answer is shifting toward strategy, context, and navigating a world where the basic unit of production has been utterly transformed. This ties directly into what one observer calls AI's Kubernetes moment. Open-weight AI models are becoming the stable, portable foundation for a new ecosystem, much like the container orchestration system did for cloud computing. The argument is that the US should compete in building this open ecosystem, not wall it off. It's a pivotal moment for how the next generation of intelligence is built and shared. And then there are the costs we never anticipated. In mathematics, several long-standing conjectures have reportedly been toppled recently by counterexamples produced by large language models. It sparked what one mathematician describes as a kind of existential, dark night, forcing a field built on logical certainty to grapple with stochastic oracles. If the machines can brute force challenges to our bedrock assumptions, what does that mean for the future of discovery? Is this a terrifying crisis or a powerful new tool? The debate is raw and immediate. It's a week that asks us to look at the receipts from our advancement. From the noise outside our windows to the tariffs on our goods, from the crumbling cost of software to the shaking foundations of pure logic. But it's not all about the bill coming due. This week also showed us a silvery new understanding of our sun, a surprisingly intact Venus, and a Starship rocket that stuck a beautifully smooth landing. We found a clever, low-tech way to save thousands of animals in the Amazon. And we saw Brazilian farmers use blockchain not for speculation, but for something profoundly real, turning tokenized dairy cows into vital credit. You can read about that ingenious application at ReadFlow. So, let's take stock of it all, the noise, the code, and the cosmic silver. This is ReadFlow Weekly for July 18th through 25th, 2026. Let's get started. Good morning, and welcome to ReadFlow Weekly for July 18th through 25th, 2026. I'm your host. From the hum of traffic outside your window to the silent, burning heart of our sun, this week is about the signals hidden in the noise. We begin with a foundational shift in the tech world, where the economics of building software have been upended by the collapsing cost of code. It's prompting a rethinking of engineering management and parallels what one observer calls the Kubernetes moment for open-weight AI. We'll explore what that means for the next wave of innovation. Then, we dive into the unintended consequences of that very intelligence. Large language models are now producing mathematical counterexamples, sparking what one mathematician describes as a dark night for the field. At the same time, another piece argues that the whole premise of checking for human writing is fundamentally flawed. It's a dual crisis of creation and authenticity. In business, the price of geopolitical friction is being tallied in real time. New tariffs are facing immediate legal challenges, with projections putting their annual cost to Americans in the hundreds of billions. Meanwhile, a separate report calculates that farmers have borne a heavy, specific burden from conflict, paying over $1 billion more for diesel fuel. We'll look at the direct line from policy to pocketbook. Science offers revelations that recalibrate our understanding of the universe, both vast and intimate. Our sun, it turns out, is far richer than we knew, containing 55% more silver than previous estimates. Venus may be engaged in a violent, self-destructive geological process. And the James Webb Space Telescope found a hidden giant exoplanet in one of astronomy's most famous systems, reminding us there's always more to discover. Closer to home, new research links long-term exposure to road traffic noise with a higher risk of Parkinson's disease, adding a health metric to the cost of our infrastructure. And in a beautiful counterpoint to that human-made problem, we'll end our journey in the Amazon, where a simple, ingenious solution, rope bridges for the canopy, has safely enabled 15,000 wildlife crossings with zero roadkill. It's a quiet triumph of connection. That's the path ahead, so let's get started. We began this week with a sound many of us know all too well, the background hum of traffic, and the quiet suggestion that it might be doing more than just annoying us. It's a fitting metaphor for where we find technology and AI right now. There's a tremendous amount of noise, from political threats over tariffs to the hype cycle around the next big model. But if you listen carefully, you can hear foundational shifts happening beneath the surface. This week, those shifts are about who gets to build, what we're even building for, and the very systems we're trusting to hold it all together. Let's start with what might be the most consequential quiet revolution in software engineering in a generation. We've talked for years about AI writing code, but a compelling essay this week argues that era is over. The cost of code has not just dropped, it has collapsed. The author, a director of engineering, says the old rules of management are breaking down. Rules like a director shouldn't code, or that good work simply takes time. When an AI can generate a functional microservice in seconds, the entire calculus of project planning, team protection, and technical debt changes. The bottleneck is no longer typing speed or even raw problem-solving logic. It's clarity of thought, architectural wisdom, and the ability to ask the right question. This is a profound shift in power from those who can write syntax to those who can define intent. You can find that full perspective in our article on engineering management after the cost of code collapsed. This collapsing cost is fueling a parallel shift in the AI infrastructure layer itself. Another piece argues that open-weight AI models are having their Kubernetes moment. For those who remember, Kubernetes was the open-source orchestrator that standardized how we run software in the cloud, preventing any single vendor from fully locking in the ecosystem. The author, who was there at the dawn of the cloud-native wave, sees the same pattern. As open models like Llama become genuinely capable foundations, the risk is that the US and other governments, in a rush to regulate and wall off frontier models, might accidentally stifle this open ecosystem. The argument is that competition should happen on the layer above asterisk the base model, on the tooling, the applications, the specialized fine-tunes. Trying to control the foundational weights themselves is like trying to control the Linux kernel. It might be possible, but you'd likely just send the innovation elsewhere. So the race is on to build the platform that becomes the standard for deploying, managing, and scaling these open-weight models. It's a moment of both enormous opportunity and potential misstep. And speaking of infrastructure, the hardware landscape is shifting too. PyTorch, the dominant AI framework, announced that its Monik distributed training system is now available for AMD GPUs using the ROCm software stack. This is a technical detail with broad implications. For years, NVIDIA's CUDA platform has been the de facto standard for serious AI training, creating a formidable moat. Robust support from a major framework like PyTorch on AMD hardware is a critical step toward real competition. It gives large-scale training operations a choice, which could, over time, affect costs and availability for everyone building in this space. It's a reminder that the AI boom isn't just about algorithms, it's about compute, and the fight for that compute is happening on multiple fronts. But what are we building with all this democratized compute and collapsed code cost? Sometimes, things that deeply unsettle the very fields we thought were immune. A haunting essay from a mathematician describes what they call the dark night of mathematics. In the past week, they report, large language models have produced credible counterexamples to several significant, long-standing mathematical conjectures. The author is not celebrating. They describe a feeling of insanity, of foundations trembling. If an LLM, a statistical model trained on human text and code, can stumble upon a proof that eluded brilliant human minds for decades, what does that say about the nature of mathematical truth? Is it something we discover or something we construct? This isn't just an academic panic. It strikes at the heart of the AI anxiety in every creative and analytical profession. If it can happen in the pure, logical world of mathematics, nowhere is safe. This existential wobble leads perfectly into another sharp piece of criticism this week, which argues that the whole premise of checking for human writing is daft. The author's point is that we value human writing for the process, the struggle, the refinement, the thinking that happens between the first rubbish sentence and the seventh, better one. AI tools short-circuit that process. Trying to detect whether the final output was written by a human is focusing on the wrong thing. The question shouldn't be about origin, but about engagement. Did thinking occur? Was there a struggle? This pairs powerfully with the mathematician's dread. If an AI produces a valid proof, does the lack of human struggle make it less true? Or does it just force us to re-evaluate why we valued the struggle in the first place? We're moving from an age of valuing the product of thought to an age that must find new ways to value the process of thinking itself. Amidst these cerebral crises, we see technology solving remarkably tangible, human problems. In Brazil, struggling farmers have unlocked $20,000 in credit by putting their dairy cows on the blockchain. This isn't crypto speculation. This is asset tokenization meeting real-world need. An ag tech firm fitted cows with smart collars that monitor health data in real time, creating a trustworthy, fraud-proof digital representation of the asset. That tokenized cow can then be used as collateral for a loan, bypassing traditional bank lending limits. It's a small pilot, but it's a powerful proof of concept. The blockchain, in this case, isn't a currency. It's a verifiable ledger that creates trust where it was scarce, unlocking capital for people who need it. After years of promises, here's a use case that's actually about utility, not just price appreciation. And from new interfaces for capital to new interfaces for our own bodies. A company has developed the MouthPad, a hands-free touchpad that fits in the roof of your mouth. It translates subtle tongue and head movements into precise cursor control for computers and phones. The company's tagline is simple: the mouth is a new interface. This is assistive technology with the potential to become mainstream augmentation. For individuals with mobility challenges, it could be transformative. But it also hints at a future where we're constantly, subtly interacting with our devices through wearables we don't even have to hold. It's a quiet step toward a more integrated, always available computing layer. Finally, this week offered two deep dives into the systems that shape our digital world, both reminding us that the choices made in building these systems are never neutral. One essay, focused on game design, argues that systems are the message. Players don't learn what a developer values from patch notes or mission statements. They learn it from what the system rewards, what it measures, what it makes easy or frustrating. Which scoreboard you ship, what you charge for, where you insert friction, every one of these choices telegraphs a value. This is true far beyond games. It's true for social media algorithms, for office productivity software, for the very operating systems we use. And on that note, there's a wonderful technical walkthrough of how Fedora Linux is built, from a developer's Git push all the way to the ISO file you download. It's called the Fedora 45 Sausage Factory, and it demystifies the immense, automated pipeline of compilers, build servers, and quality checks that turn thousands of individual packages into a coherent, stable release. In a world of opaque platforms, this transparency is itself a value. It shows that the system is built on a foundation of open collaboration and rigorous process. These two pieces together are a vital reminder. As the cost of code collapses and AI tools proliferate, the most important skills may not be in prompting or even in architecture, but in systems thinking. Understanding the values embedded in the systems we use, and perhaps more importantly, in the systems we choose to build. Moving from the foundational shifts in technology to the boardrooms and trading floors, this week in business is dominated by the sound of slamming doors. Not metaphorical ones, but the very real, very expensive gates of global trade being swung shut. The Trump administration announced a new wave of tariffs this week, and the reaction was immediate, costly, and litigious. Within hours of the tariffs taking effect, legal challenges were filed. As detailed in our coverage, the lawsuit argues the tariffs likely violate existing statutes, and many trade experts give them little chance of surviving judicial review. But the immediate economic impact is not waiting for a judge's gavel. An analysis from the Progressive Policy Institute projects these tariffs will cost Americans a staggering $100 billion a year. That's not an abstract number on a government balance sheet. That's a tax, effectively, paid by consumers and businesses on imported goods, which will ripple through supply chains and show up on price tags. You can read the detailed breakdown in our coverage of the report on the tariffs' projected cost. And the trade tensions didn't stop at the water's edge. In a related move, the president threatened substantial new tariffs against the European Union after Brussels fined Google over $1 billion for alleged illegal trade practices. It's a stark reminder of how corporate regulatory battles can quickly escalate into geopolitical economic standoffs, with consumers potentially caught in the crossfire. This tit-for-tat dynamic creates a fog of uncertainty for any business engaged in transatlantic commerce, making long-term planning and investment a game of high-stakes guesswork. Speaking of costs borne by specific groups, a sobering report from Senate Democrats highlights another economic ripple effect from geopolitical conflict, one that hits close to home. America's farmers spent an estimated $1.4 billion more on diesel fuel this past spring planting season. The report ties this directly to increased global oil prices amid ongoing tensions. For an industry operating on thin margins, that's not just a line item. It's a severe financial strain that impacts food production, equipment purchases, and the viability of family farms. It's a tangible, painful example of how foreign policy decisions translate directly into business expenses on Main Street, a world away from diplomatic chambers. This kind of economic friction, where global events impose direct local costs, leads to broader and more fundamental questions about the system itself. A provocative essay gaining traction this week argues that neoliberal economics, the dominant framework for global markets for decades, was a con from the start. The critique suggests the promised benefits of deregulation and free market absolutism were never going to be broadly shared, and that the system is working exactly as designed for a select few. Whether you agree with that thesis or not, it captures a growing, palpable sentiment in the public discourse, a feeling that the fundamental rules of the economic game might be rigged. That sentiment, that loss of confidence, is itself a market force. It influences consumer behavior, voter priorities, and ultimately, the regulatory landscape in which all businesses operate. In the world of media and mergers, we saw a different kind of friction this week. The slow, expensive grind of legal and regulatory machinery. Paramount, under its new Skydance ownership, has agreed to delay its proposed acquisition of Warner Bros. Discovery by several months, potentially pushing the completion date to as late as June 2027. This delay, which will ultimately raise the price of the deal, comes as the tie-up faces a legal challenge. It's a classic case of corporate ambition running into the realities of antitrust scrutiny and contractual complexities, putting the future of two entertainment giants in a state of suspended animation. Every month of delay is a month of operational limbo, affecting everything from content strategy to employee morale, proving that in modern megadeals, time is quite literally money. And finally, the perennial tension between political power and the press corps, the Fourth Estate, was on full display at the rescheduled White House Correspondents' Dinner. In a speech that mixed praise with insult, the president lauded the press corps' response to the April shooting before criticizing journalists and celebrities who have been critical of him. It was a stark, theatrical reminder of the fragile and often adversarial relationship between those who govern and those who report on that governance. In a business sense, it underscores the immense pressure and unpredictable environment in which media companies now operate. The calculus of access journalism versus adversarial reporting has never been more complex or more fraught with commercial and reputational risk. It's a high-wire act with a national audience. So, from multi-billion-dollar tariff bills to a billion more in farm diesel costs, the story this week is about accounting. It's about who pays the price for policy, for conflict, and for systemic friction. In technology, we're seeing the cost of creation collapse, as we discussed earlier. But in the broader business world, the costs of contention and confrontation are being tallied up in real time. These are the trade-offs of an interconnected global economy, where a tariff announcement in Washington can affect a farmer in Iowa, a fine in Brussels can trigger a threat from the White House, and a loss of faith in the economic system itself becomes a pivotal business risk. The invoices for this week's decisions are being printed, and they're addressed to everyone. From the foundational shifts in technology to the boardrooms and trading floors, we now turn our gaze outward, to the stars and inward, to the very systems that sustain and sometimes ail us. This week in science is a powerful reminder that our understanding of the universe, and our own place in it, is constantly being rewritten by new data. And sometimes, that new data comes from looking more carefully at things we thought we already knew. Let's start close to home, with our own star. Researchers at Uppsala University have delivered a celestial plot twist. It turns out the Sun contains a whopping 55% more silver than earlier calculations suggested. This isn't about finding new bling in the solar system. It's about refining our models. The updated estimate comes from a more realistic model of the solar atmosphere, and it helps resolve a long-standing puzzle about the abundance of certain elements in the cosmos. It's a beautiful example of how science progresses. You don't always need a new telescope. Sometimes, you just need to look at the old data with sharper, more sophisticated eyes. The Sun, it seems, is a bit more precious than we thought. While one neighbor gets an upgrade, another appears to be in the midst of a dramatic, self-inflicted crisis. Venus, that cloud-shrouded inferno, may be tearing itself apart from within. For years, scientists considered Venus geologically inactive, a stagnant world. But new analysis suggests its surface might be undergoing a process called delamination, where massive chunks of the planet's upper crust are peeling away and sinking into the hot interior. This isn't plate tectonics as we know it on Earth. It's a more catastrophic, wholesale recycling of the surface, which could explain the planet's young-looking, repaved exterior and its hellish atmosphere. It's a starkly different geological fate from our own planets, and it forces us to ask why these two rocky worlds, born of the same stuff, ended up on such violently divergent paths. Our tools for asking those questions keep getting better, of course. And this week, the James Webb Space Telescope proved its worth once again by discovering a giant exoplanet hiding in plain sight. The planet was lurking in one of astronomy's most famous and closely examined systems, Beta Pictoris, which was already known to host two massive planets. Finding a third, hidden giant there is like discovering a secret room in a house you've lived in for decades. It underscores just how much we have yet to learn about planetary formation and the architecture of other solar systems, even the ones we thought we had mapped. Closer to the ground, another discovery links our environment to our health in a subtle but significant way. A large Danish study has found a modest but consistent association between long-term exposure to road traffic noise and a higher risk of developing Parkinson's disease. The research showed about a 3% increase in risk for every 11.5 decibel rise in noise at the most exposed side of a home. Now, this points to a correlation, not definitive causation, and the increase is modest. But it adds to a growing body of evidence that chronic noise pollution isn't just an annoyance. It's a physiological stressor with potential long-term consequences for brain health. It makes you wonder what other signals are hidden in the constant hum of our modern world. Speaking of signals and actions, a fascinating behavioral study this week tackled a common concern in climate policy. The claim is that if you get people to make small, personal climate-friendly choices like recycling, they'll feel they've done their part and become less supportive of the bigger, systemic changes we need. Well, scientists put that claim to the test. Following nearly 2,800 participants, they found no evidence that personal choices reduce people's interest in broader action. In fact, the two attitudes were largely independent. This is crucial. It suggests that encouraging individual responsibility and demanding large-scale policy action are not a zero-sum game. We don't have to worry that a successful recycling program will undercut support for a carbon tax. It turns out the human capacity for caring about the planet might be more multifaceted and more resilient than we assumed. And finally, from the frontiers of both spaceflight and biology, we have two milestone stories. First, engineering pragmatism had a very good week with SpaceX's Starship completing a smooth, lucky 13-inch test flight, hitting key milestones in its development toward a fully reusable Super Heavy launch system. Progress in rocketry is often measured in explosions, so a flight that went quite smoothly is a major headline. Second, in the waters of Quebec and the northeastern US, researchers have documented a grim biological first, a transmissible cancer spreading among catfish. This is only the 9th known example of a contagious cancer in nature, and the first ever found in fish. It's a sobering discovery that expands our understanding of how cancer can, in rare circumstances, evolve to leap between individuals, becoming a parasitic disease of its own. So this week, science gave us a sun with more silver, a planet tearing itself apart, a hidden giant next door, and a quiet, worrying link between the noise we live with and the health of our brains. It's a mix of the wondrous and the cautionary, reminding us that discovery is about seeing the universe, and our impact on it, with ever greater clarity. If there's a theme tying together this week's noise, code, and cosmic silver, it's the theme of foundations being stress-tested. We are living through a period where the bedrock assumptions of entire fields are being shaken, not by gradual erosion, but by sudden, seismic revelations. And it's happening everywhere you look. Consider the very foundation of logical reasoning itself, mathematics. This week, a mathematician penned a deeply personal essay titled The Dark Night of Mathematics, describing a sense of existential crisis as large language models began producing credible counterexamples to long-standing conjectures. The tools built on statistical pattern recognition are now chipping away at the pillars of pure logic, creating a profound identity crisis for a discipline built on certainty. It's a foundational shake in the most abstract sense. Now, pivot to the foundation of our modern software world. We're witnessing what one observer calls the Kubernetes moment for open-weight AI. The argument, laid out in a compelling piece, is that just as Kubernetes became the foundational layer for managing containerized applications, open-weight models are becoming the foundational layer for the next AI ecosystem. This shift, coupled with the collapsing cost of generating code, is forcing a complete rethink of engineering management principles. The old rules about protecting teams and long timelines are crumbling. The foundation of how we build software is being remade in real time. And from the abstract and the digital, we swing to the literal foundation of our solar system, the sun itself. Scientists using a more realistic model of the solar atmosphere have recalculated its composition and discovered it contains 55% more silver than we previously thought. This isn't just a trivia update. It resolves a long-standing discrepancy in our models of galactic chemical evolution. Our foundational understanding of the star that anchors our entire planetary system was just corrected. Meanwhile, next door, Venus may be tearing itself apart from within. A stark reminder that even planetary foundations are not permanent. This pattern of foundational stress even extends to our economic and social systems. The immediate legal challenges to new tariffs highlight how quickly the foundations of global trade can be contested. The critique that neoliberal economics was a con from the start is a direct assault on the intellectual foundation of decades of policy. And even in media, the delayed mega acquisition of Warner Bros. Discovery shows the shaky legal foundations upon which these empire-building deals are built. So what are we to make of all this shaking? It's not chaos for its own sake. Each tremor represents a collision between new tools and old truths, between better data and settled science, between emerging possibilities and entrenched systems. The anxiety in mathematics, the excitement in open-source AI, the awe in astronomy, they are all different facets of the same phenomenon. Our collective platform of knowledge is undergoing a rapid and simultaneous upgrade. The foundation isn't collapsing. It's being excavated, measured with new tools, and found to be both more complex and more malleable than we ever imagined. The task now is not to mourn the solid ground of old assumptions, but to learn how to build, and think, on ground that is intelligently, and perpetually, in motion. And for our final note this week, a wonderfully simple piece of ingenuity that reminds us that sometimes the best technology isn't about processing power, but about empathy and observation. High in the canopy of the Brazilian Amazon, where roads slice through dense forest, a quiet success story is unfolding. A conservation project called Reconnector installed 8 simple rope bridges for arboreal wildlife. The idea is as straightforward as it is brilliant. Give monkeys, sloths, and other tree-dwelling creatures a safe way to cross without ever having to risk the road below. The results, captured over 15 months with camera traps, are nothing short of spectacular. These bridges have now facilitated over 15,000 safe wildlife crossings. And the most important statistic, 0 roadkill recorded in the study area. It's a powerful, low-tech proof that with a little creativity, we can build a world that's more connected for all its inhabitants. It connects, in a way, to a story we touched on earlier about the hidden costs of our infrastructure, like the study finding a link between long-term road traffic noise and Parkinson's disease risk. One story shows the unintended harm our systems can create, while this one shows the profound good we can engineer when we design with other species in mind. It's a hopeful coda. Progress doesn't always have to be a trade-off. That's it for ReadFlow Weekly. I'm your host. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next Saturday. And that brings us to the end of another ReadFlow Weekly. From the quiet, profound shake-up in mathematics to the booming test flight of Starship, from the tangible utility of a tokenized cow to the hidden giant planet in a famous star system, it's been a week that reminds us how much there still is to discover and to question. Thank you for spending part of your Saturday with us. If any of these stories sparked your curiosity, you can dive much deeper. We've linked to all of them in our show notes, and you can read and save every article for free on ReadFlow. It's the best way to build your own understanding of the forces shaping our world. For now, I hope you have a fantastic and restful weekend ahead. We'll be back next Saturday with another edition, unpacking the latest in tech, business, and science. Until then, keep reading.